You and you and you
and
too.
You and you and you and you.
Do they like cheese?
Kicking ass and taking out the trash.
Fucking A, Bubba.
Limited brain power.
Limited brain power.
I'm feeling pretty special. I really am.
Is it an army of ghosts?
Oh, like you.
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, good.
Is it beer o'clock there yet, Uncle Lou?
No, not yet. From... No. I drank a little last night.
Louis, shut up.
You're a good fanboy, Dale.
Vampire bites a cow, and these cows turn into vampires and go around biting people. And it is the funniest goddamn thing.
I wonder what kind of milk they give.
I need another cup of tea now.
Beware the rapids. Raise your ass when you're going over the rocks.
Yeah.
It was just so perfect.
You ready? Good.
Dale has a happy.
he has a happy. Is that what they're calling it nowadays?
That's what makes Christmas. Food poisoning.
This is Sparta!
This is Daphne Ashbrick, and welcome to the Happiness Patrol, where all people are happy.
So hey everybody, this week on the Happiness Patrol, we're, it's a week before Christmas, and we're all getting all cinnamon spicy here.
Our Christmas presents come early.
Yes, our Christmas present has come early. Leela and Tara are all excited, and as well as Dale.
Dale's gone all fanboy.
He's gone all fanboy on us. We are very pleased to welcome our very first companion here on the Happiness Patrol, Miss Daphne Ashbrook. Miss Daphne Ashbrook, welcome.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
we're very happy to have you. And also, she brought her lovely companion, her own companion, Mr. Vito Gregoli.
Thank you. Physician himself.
Thank you, patrollers. So anyway, Daphne, what are you getting for Christmas? Is Santa Claus bringing anything good?
Let me see here. What's Santa Claus going to bring me? I think it's a surprise.
Uh-oh. Don't watch out for those.
Well, that's,
I know. You never know.
Always good. So.
Never know.
So I think the biggest surprise for the American Doctor Who fans that is coming this year is something very cool. Dale, you want to take it from here?
Yeah. First question, Daphne. Are you actually fairly excited that the Doctor Who DVD, the movie, is coming out in the US at long, long last?
I am very excited about that. As a matter of fact, I think I'm more than excited because, you know, I did go to the New York Comic Con and I realized... there are so many American Who fans who haven't seen it. So it's going to be a relief, I think, finally to be able to kind of sit there and know that they actually know who I am and what my participation in Doctor Who was. So,
and point them at something that's not illegal.
That's right. You know?
Yeah. it's been 10 long plus years. So finally we get a legal copy. That'll be great.
I mean, we've had it in the UK for forever. It's brilliant. I love it. And they've just reissued it with all the extras and the commentaries and all that, which is the version I believe the US is getting a two-disc set. So that's going to be great fun. And you are the first modern-day companion. You're the first that changed the rule book.
Hey, this is the woman who gave the Doctor his taste for human women. So,
yeah, no kidding. I mean, geez, he can't stop smooching all those girls nowadays.
She's just all over the place. My God. And it's all Daphne's fault.
But
all Daphne's fault.
Daphne, would you say that you never forget your first Doctor?
Never.
That is.
There you go.
Yeah, right.
There you go.
So, you know, I was looking, I was doing a little research before I wanted to do this interview, and I was looking on your the Internet Movie Database at some of the stuff that you've done, and my God, Daphne, it's amazing. From Law and Order, Ghost Whisperer.
Knight Rider.
Knight Rider. Jag.
Love Knight Rider. Sorry. Big Knight Rider fan.
Sweet justice. And you know, the other thing I noticed here, thanks to my good buddy Dale, who always keeps me appraised of all this. I think K-9 actually helped a little bit too. So,
but
thank you, K-9. So the thing that was so cool about it is, Daphne, you're the only person or the only female who has ever appeared in Doctor Who and Star Trek, which is kind of cool, I think.
I'm feeling pretty special. I really am.
Daphne's geek cred is way the hell up there.
I know. I am. I'm one of the biggest geeks around, I think.
So tell me this. Do you get noticed more for Doctor Who or Star Trek?
You know what? It's interesting that that Star Trek was sort of even though it aired here, obviously, and people had seen it, I don't think people really realized that was me. And it's just now starting to really pop up when I come over there and do signings. I see pictures of Melora all over the place. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of fun to see it sort of come back to life.
So for our listeners who don't know, that was a Star Trek Deep Space Nine, and the episode was called Melora. And Daphne plays an alien from a planet that was the gravity wasn't quite the same as Earth and that sort of thing. So it was a lighter than Earth gravity sort of thing. So she was on Deep Space Nine in kind of a wheelchair apparatus. So she had to sort of like get over that. And it was good. It was good. It was actually kind of a Little Mermaid type sort of thing. So
I'll go there. I've always loved that story.
So I watched it today and I was like, wow, that's cool. But I have to tell you, Daphne, it was second choice because I really wanted to see you in Knight Rider, and I couldn't find it online anywhere.
Oh shoot! So, I think it's available over here somewhere. So, I think you can purchase it.
So tell me this: what was it like working with the Hasselhoff,
the Hoff? Let me tell you, the main thing that I remember about him was that he's so damn tall that I kept on. Just naturally, every time I had to turn to face him in a two-person scene, I would have to take a step back so that I wasn't, craning my neck. And they kept saying, you moved off your mark. We got to do that again. Can you please just stay on your mark? And I was fairly new to the business at that time. And I was like, oh, yeah, okay. And then we'd do it again. And I continued to do it. I had to they had to keep on stopping and reshooting because I just couldn't see the guy. I was looking up his nose, It's like, he's amazingly tall. He's like 6'4", 6'6", something like that. Uh-huh. And
wow,
I was in flats because,
he's a big guy. He's a big boy.
Now, Tara, have you seen David Hasselhoff?
Oh, yeah. I've seen the Hoff.
Wow. That's crazy.
Wow. Made him a scarf yet.
Yeah, you need to make him a scarf, Tara.
I don't knit scarves for just anybody.
Ooh,
no,
right. No, I'm sorry. Zing, take that, David Hasselhoff.
Bit in the middle.
right. Didn't you, Tara, tell me you had a car once that had that was kidified?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, okay. We'll get to that story later. We've got special guests. We can't wander off right now. So, but which we will usually do, and you guys are invited back anytime to listen to listen to any of Tara's stories because that's not a problem.
She's not short of a story.
No. You're getting me to shut up. That's the problem.
Yeah, you'll need considerably longer than half an hour.
Oh yeah, there you go. So so I wanted to congratulate you, Daphne, for the release of your brand new CD.
Thank you.
It's called Grace Notes, and it's on now. Vito, this is your label, correct?
Correct.
Now, can you tell?
And Vito did most of the instrumentation on this album.
Yes, I did.
Yes,
wow.
He did.
Wow.
Fantastic work. Fantastic work.
So Daphne, did you and Vito, you and Vito worked on this together, I guess, and Vito let me know a little earlier that it was in his home studio.
Yes, it was. Every bit of it. And once you've heard it, you won't believe that it was done in a little studio in Santa Monica, it's just like sounds so big. It's incredible.
Yeah.
So
it's bigger on the inside than it is.
On the outside.
It's TARDIS Studios only.
So is this is not your first foray into the musical world, correct?
correct. I when I was a kid, I started doing a lot of musical theater, and from age 6 to 18 or 17 or 18, I was doing musicals, and so my dad was a director. So when I was a little kid, really little kid, you know, 6, 7, 8, was would go for a visit on the summers, and he would throw me into shows along with my brother and sister, and that's where it all started. And plus, he played the piano, and he loved to play the piano, and he would have me get up and sing in front of the cast and cast parties and stuff. So it was a lot of fun, and he really helped get me going on just my love for the theater and a love for music. And he kind of just kept on pushing me to get out there and do it. So
was this
largely responsible for my musical endeavors, I think.
Was this in California or
yes. What? And I'm from San Diego.
Oh, so you're a West Coaster through and through.
Totally.
Okay.
I've lived in the desert my whole life. I know desert? You guys are bummed because of all the snow and all that good stuff, but I mean, I like the weather changes. So, I mean, we're getting a little rain right now, so it's really cool. Because normally you don't know that it's Christmas time because of the weather. You know, it could be a Santa Ana, hot, windy weather on the day, and it's a drag. But I think we might get lucky this year. If we get a little rain on Christmas, I'll be thrilled.
Cool. So
I'll swap you for -5 and 4 months worth of snow.
That's a lot. That is a lot, I know. And every time I say to my mother that I want to, you know, live where the weather changes and you get snow and hail and sleet and all that, she's like, yeah, wait until you have to live in it and shovel your way out of it, you know. So
I've been living in it my entire life, and it sucks.
Daphne, you and Vito need to just hop a Southwest flight out here to Albuquerque, and it's great because it's nice and dry down here. We can see the snow on the mountain. You take the tramway up to the mountain, play in the snow, and then come back down to where it's where you don't have to worry about slipping and falling. Have a decent dinner, you know. It's very, very civilized. You go and you visit the weather in New Mexico. You don't have to deal with it.
I actually shot a show in. You better be careful because we're going to be knocking on your door one day, and you're going to be so stunned.
Come on ahead. I got a whole wing of the house set up for you guys.
That's perfect.
That's for the first annual Tara Fest, which will be coming up soon. So.
Album question.
Dale's got an album question.
Okay.
When's your album actually out? Because you've been on the website, been on the Grace Notes website, listened to all the little snippets, which I loved. I don't need a doctor.
Oh, I love that song. God damn it.
That was Vito's idea. He has to take full credit for that.
That's all Vito's fault. Vito,
it's
wonderful.
It's an inspired song. It's absolutely hilarious.
I'm completely pandering to the WHO audience.
You did.
It fucking works because...
the audience whose name is WHO is very impressed.
But it's not.
When's it actually out?
It's actually out now. We're working on a press release right now, but it is out. It's officially out. You can get it on my website. You can get it on Vito's website. You can get it at Amazon. You can get it at CB Baby. And iTunes.
iTunes. Don't
iTunes
forget
it. Download from iTunes.
I bought the CD.
Yay!
I went on this morning and thought, oh my God, it's Dr. Grace and she's singing. Yes, right, we'll have that.
Yeah, signed mine.
So,
that's right.
You're a good fanboy, Dale.
Yes.
Yes, we're lucky to have him here.
In a fanboy moment, Grace Holloway was always one of my absolute favorite companions because she reminded very much of Leela and Romana from earlier, who in that she had a brain, she thought for herself, you know, she had her own life, her own career, and she wasn't afraid to say no to the doctor, you know, so she had her own agenda as well, but she still did the Jeopardy thing and getting taken over by the master, etc. And hey, she could blow up a TARDIS with the best of us. Fantastic.
So
thank you for that.
So
I love it.
I think you've earned a free signature on your CD.
Oh, there you go. There you go, Dale. So, speaking of Dr. Grace Holloway, you did a...
I'm talking about the Big Finish audio production
that you did in 2004. It was called The Next Life, and you were with Paul McGann, correct?
Correct.
But you were not Dr. Grace Holloway. You were a character. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Let me see. All I can say is that I had never done one of these things before. Uh-huh. And I was a little terrified. I just did not know what I was walking into. And it was a ginormous script. It was huge. And I hadn't seen Paul since we'd shot the movie, so it had been a long time coming there. Mm-hmm. And but the good news was Gary Russell was directing, and I knew Gary, and for whatever reason, he can communicate very well with me. I understand what he means, and I adore him. So that helped, and we just had a blast. I did things that I had never done in my life. I took liberties that I've never taken and was way over the top, but I had a blast doing it, and it was just a lot of fun. It was just a really great way to participate again in the whole whodom of the Whoville.
Of Whoville. Well, welcome back to Whoville,
Oh, yeah, Gary, one of my favorite bits of direction from Gary was, because you know Joan Collins, who I'd actually worked with a million years ago, and I said, yeah, and he said, just do it like her. And so that's all I needed to say, and I was suddenly channeling Joan Collins, who's a lovely woman, by the way. I loved her. She was very sweet. Enjoyed her a lot.
So Perfection was the name of the character, and I guess to a lot of Who fans, it's kind of sad that they want to see Dr. Grace Holloway back. They want to see Grace Holloway back.
Yeah.
Now. I guess the understanding is that the character of Grace Holloway is owned by Fox. Is that correct?
Yes. I mean, I think it's actually dually owned. That's my guess. Because I know Universal was also involved. So it could just be both Fox and Universal have partial ownership. And therefore, I can't be Dr. Holloway until they've released the rights to that character, I guess. Mm. And then I also heard that it was owned by the writers, so I don't know.
I heard that too.
Yeah.
If Freema Agyeman can actually come back, two stories apart after being killed off in Army of Ghosts and then come back as her own cousin, I'm sure we could find a way to bring
Holloway. I think they can find a way.
Yeah, I don't
find a way.
Yeah, so you probably think it's just a question of rights. It's not a question of you wouldn't want to do it. So Miss Ashbrook, I have to ask you, if asked back for the 50th anniversary of Doctor Who, and the rights of the character Dr. Grace Holloway were cleared, would you do it?
Oh my gosh, yes, in a heartbeat. I would love to do it. I love that character. Uh-huh. And honestly, I would really like to see what they could do with it, because I think it could go in a lot of directions. I mean, by the end of the movie, she's jobless. She's her belief in science and what is real and what isn't has completely blown out of the water. So it would be very interesting to see, blew off a doctor.
I got one word for her career plans. Torchwood. Okay.
Torchwood.
Absolutely. Spin her out.
That would work so well.
What do you do with Dr. Grace Holloway? She needs to work for Torchwood, goddammit, okay? She's seen weird shit. She's got a medical background. Torchwood.
Yeah.
I'm expecting you all to write in. And tell them that absolutely. That's what I should do.
We'll start this on the internets, and it'll just go ballistic.
So getting back to Grace Notes, getting back to music, Daphne.
Yes.
Tell me, do you and Vito have, since you guys, worked together on this, do you guys have a very similar taste in music? And tell me a little bit about, like, some of the influences that that you have in your singing.
Well, I remember being really moved when I was 15 and I heard some Joni Mitchell for the first time. Mm-hmm. And I just fell in love with her. I just think she is extraordinary. she's a poet, and I loved the sound of her voice. I love the sound of her voice now, which is much different. It's about 3 octaves lower, but she's just an incredible artist. And so that was when I first started getting into Joni Mitchell, and it's been a big love in my life for since. And then, you know, my uncle is a folk musician singer, was a folk musician singer, and my aunt Caroline, same thing. And they founded Folk Legacy Records. And so there's that in my family that's an influence as well.
Right.
Love Patty Griffin and Sean Colvin. I just like the Celtic folk and even a country feel to a lot of these things. I just think I don't know what it is, but I really love it. And maybe it suits my voice.
Right.
So it's something that I'm comfortable singing. But I also love show tunes, you know, I'm a show tune hoofer from way back when, and I love jazz. Grew up on Billie Holiday and Dinah Washington, and I love all kinds of music, and as does Vito. I mean, his background is very varied, and so he was able to easily let me sort of pick songs, and we would work on them and talk about what we wanted to do, and wanted to kind of decide how the album was going to be, how it all would fit together. And it's a little eclectic, but I think that's what's fun. And I think ultimately I like songs that tell stories and songs that are about the human condition.
Right. It's more, it's almost a contemporary folk sort of feel. I like that because you're covering like people from Ricky Lee Jones and Joni Mitchell, and there's a David Byrne song on here, which I was like, wow, that's kind of cool.
That's Sean Colvin's fault.
Oh, yeah, is
Sean
it really?
Colvin did her. Yeah, she did that on her cover album. Cover girl, right? So that's how that came in. That snuck up on me.
Yeah, Sean Colvin is pretty damn cool too. I was listening to her and Patty Griffith. Is it Griffin or Griffin? Patty Griffin. That's right. Yeah. I was like listening to. I was like, who is Patty Griffin? So I looked her up on YouTube, and I just started like listening to song after song of hers because I was like, wow, she's really really good. So,
There's an album of hers actually that the first album I ever heard of hers called Living with Ghosts, and I listened to that album over and over. And it took me forever to realize that it's not, there's nothing on that album except her and her guitar. And it sounds, it's such a rich, big sound that it took me forever to realize that that's it. Man, she could have done that live and sounded just as cool.
Yeah,
so
it
was, that's talent. I mean, she's just amazing. I just love her.
I feel the same way about Suzanne Vega's first record. I just fell in love with that when I first heard it. But listening to your voice, I was like, who does she sound like? Who does she sound like? And it hit me that you're sort of like a cool contemporary mix between Helen Reddy and Karen Carpenter. I mean, really? I mean, I don't know, Vito. What do you think? I mean, can you see that at all?
I have to confess that one of her big influences has always been Karen Carpenter.
I love Karen Carpenter.
There
I
you
love
go.
Her.
Cool.
I had to fight her not to put a Karen Carpenter tune in the
album. Oh, really? Oh, my God.
That's pretty funny. I love her.
Yeah, because, who doesn't love the Carpenters? I'm telling you. So
we started out with 20 tunes that we had to whittle down to a mere 12. And it ended up at one point sounding like it was going to be a Patty Griffin tribute album. There's just so many of her tunes that are just so good that, and Daphne loves to sing them, and she sounded so good on them. But I had to like put my foot down and say, we got to have at least another artist on the album.
Mix it up.
Yeah.
So. There's always the next album, man.
That's true.
We've already got at least two of her other songs that we'd already laid down a track or two. And then we finally said, we have to take 4 songs off. And so I think 2 of those were Patty Griffin songs.
And the other two
were Joni Mitchell songs. So,
well, I was listening to the clip of 10,000 Miles, and that one really, really has a very Karen Carpenter feel to it. So, but listen,
do you know what we should have?
What's that?
Dr. Gray singing calling occupants of interplanetary craft. That's what I want.
We'll work on that.
So I heard a lot of, you know, different things like that as a musician. You know, I love like Sandy Denny and Fairport Convention. Richard Thompson's work, that sort of stuff. And I could hear a little bit of that in there. And also a little bit, Vito, on your part, a bit of, I was going to ask you, do you listen to Neil Finn or like, you know, from Crowded House, any of that sort of stuff?
Yeah, I've heard some of his stuff. Mm-hmm. Most of the stuff I was turned on to through Sean Colvin, because Sean Colvin's a big fan of his. And so she kind of, through either doing live work or doing concerts with him, have brought him in. But I'm not that familiar with all of his work. But I like everything I've heard so far.
Very cool stuff. I remember Paul McCartney in an interview said once that, you know, they were saying, oh, you're the greatest songwriter ever. And they goes, man, I'm nothing. You need to listen to Neil Finn. He's the greatest songwriter ever. So, but anyway.
That's cool.
So, yeah, talk about a compliment. So when Paul McCartney gives you a compliment, that's pretty cool. So so anyway, Daphne, what about tour dates? Any plan on taking this on the road or what?
We're talking about it. We don't have any real firm plans right now, but we are talking about it. And the problem is if I do it, I would really want to bring my daughter, because she's I think what makes the album. She sings background on almost all of the songs and is amazing. And I want to perform with her. So, but she's always busy. She's in a play right now. She's doing Chicago, A Christmas Carol right now. Tonight's her closing night. We're going to be going. Uh-huh. And, but she's constantly working. So it's hard to get her, you know, get any time from her to start rehearsing and getting that going. But the first thing I think on the agenda is to maybe put a video together. Cause we want to try that out. It would be, I think, really fun to do that. So
nice. So Dale, Leela, do you guys have anything to ask Vito or Daphne before we let these guys go?
Well, Leela's only said two words, so come on, Leela.
I'm sorry. No, I don't have anything. I'm sorry.
I do. I got off the wall questions.
I see. I know you're not going to be short of questions, Dale.
Can we ask?
I'm not
going to
be short. You see,
what's that, Vito?
Go for it.
Ask Leela some questions.
I think we should ask Leela some questions.
Go ahead.
Oh God.
So, what's the weather like in Utah today?
It's raining.
Oh.
And it shouldn't be raining. It's December. Ski resorts were closed because of heavy rain.
Oh.
That's wrong on so many levels.
Global warming.
So, Dale?
Yes.
You have a question for Daphne?
Yes.
Hey, he's thinking.
I'm like a bloody kid on the short bus. It's ridiculous. Okay, I've gone decidedly Doctor Who fanboy over this.
So here we go. Go ahead, Dale.
You and Daphne and Vito is an off the wall one, because I ask everybody this. Do you believe in ghosts?
It's so funny that you should ask that. We had a ghost when I was growing up. We had what they call a poltergeist. And we'd come home from the day, my mother working and us going to school, and there would be all kinds of strange things going on in the house, like pictures that were hung on hooks on the walls would be lifted off, not yanked, but lifted off the hook and very carefully set down on the floor, leaning up right below where the hook is. And then other times we'd come home and all the little things, tchotchkes that we'd have on the windowsill would be carefully placed on the floor next to the windowsill in perfect condition, just sitting there, all lined up exactly in the way they were on the windowsill. And then another time, this was a little scarier, came home, went into my brother's room, and all the clothes that were hanging in the closet were off the hooks, off the whatever that thing is called, the wooden bar, and spread across the room. And yet the wooden stick that you hang stuff on was sitting there still. It was still completely attached. So then all the drawers were open. Everything was strewn around. There was no break-in. There was nothing missing. And then my mom tells stories about weird things like turning on the oven and all of the lights would go out, which could have been a fuse, I suppose. But but there were lots of weird things, inexplicable things like that happened for a period of time when I was a kid. So Yeah, we were all convinced that there was some sort of a poltergeist, ghost, whatever, hanging around, just being mischievous. And I think we were only in that house for 2 years. I don't remember having moved because of the poltergeist. I think we just sort of accepted it as something strange, but not scary, really.
I would leave quickly.
Oh, you know what? I don't know. I guess when you're just sort of experiencing it, you just sort of go, oh, that's so weird. But again, there was never a break-in and nothing was ever missing. So it was not of this world.
That's very bizarre.
I know.
Because then, well, good, what, 15 years ago now, we lived for 2 years in a house with a poltergeist.
You did?
Yeah, we did.
Is it the same house?
No. It was an old RAF marriage quarter on an RAF station, but things used to move as you were watching them. They used to slide across the mantelpiece, and you're like, right, okie dokie.
Interesting.
That's fine. Yeah, and the light bulbs just unscrew from the sockets and actually float down the hall to meet you, which was
okay. Now that you're freaking me out. I think I would have gotten scared on that. That would have freaked me out, I think. I mean, we never saw any of this actually happening. It would just.
But you just sort of live with it, really. You know, you come and you find everything rearranged. You think, oh, fine, it's happened again. So you just put it all back and hoover around it.
you heard about the ghost that goosed me. I had one lift up the back of my nightie.
What?
Yeah.
The ghost that goosed Tara.
Yeah.
What happened?
The goose ghost.
I lived in a haunted apartment, and I had a roommate who claimed that he saw ghosts all the time, and I always was convinced he was full of shit. And stuff would move around, and I was convinced that he was just having a go, having fun with me. And one night, he was at work, and I was alone in the apartment, and I was in my nightie, and I was taking clean dishes out of the dishwasher and putting them up into the cabinets. Something grabbed the back of my nightshirt, yanked it up over my head.
Oh, my God.
And my roommate came home, and I was sitting on the couch very primly with my legs tucked underneath me and that nightshirt locked up underneath my behind. And he said, what's the matter with you? And I said, ghost goosed me. And never had it, never came anywhere near me again after that, never had another problem with it, but it only moved my stuff.
Well, Daphne, I got to tell you, thank you so much for being our very first companion here on the Happiness Patrol.
We're so happy. Thank you, guys. I love you all.
You know, and like I said,
thank you, Vito, and thank you, Daphne. It's been a pleasure having you on.
You guys are always welcome. The Happiness Patrol is your home, too, so just come on back anytime you want.
It's the home you never want to visit.
Yeah, right.
Guys, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you so much for coming on. Both of you take care. Have a very Merry Christmas.
Bye, guys. I love you all from the Happiness Patrol. Hello, hello, hello. I'm sorry I missed you, Stevie. Much love.
But what I was going to tell you, I was going to say, like, you know, if you have anything that our Happiness Patrol listeners might want to watch or any suggestions for Christmas, what would you have? Tara, anything in particular?
David and I traditionally watch on Christmas night. We watch The Ghosts Who Stole Christmas, which is a holiday episode of The X-Files. And it's sort of our sweet little holiday present to each other. We cuddle in bed and watch The Ghosts Who Stole Christmas, because it's a romantic little thing, even though it does feature the 50-yard crawl for the metaphysically challenged.
I better go Google.
At one point,
now I gotta go Google.
At one point, Mulder and Scully shoot each other, and so they are crawling towards the door in blood trails, huge blood trails, and they're having this argument as they're crawling along towards the floor, arguing who shot who, and David and I refer to that as the 50-yard crawl for the metaphysically challenged, and.
Nothing says Merry Christmas like blood.
Yeah, like a blood trail. Yeah, right.
Like shooting the person you love. And it's a very, very sweet, wonderful, hysterical Christmas story about love and about the lengths that one is willing to go to keep even sick and twisted love alive.
God. Well, thank you, Tara.
Hey. What could I say? That's
everybody
up.
Has their traditions, and I think that's cool. That's cool. So, Lila, what about you? Do you have anything that you traditionally watch every Christmas, or anything that you could suggest to our listeners?
Tim Burton's The Nightmare Before Christmas.
That's a classic. That's a good one.
Really, you cannot go wrong with Tim Burton and Danny Elfman music. It's gorgeously amazing.
So
I agree. It's a very, very good film.
What, did you see it when it first came out, Layla?
I think so. Well, it came out when I was like a toddler. So I know. But, I mean, we had a VHS tape of it, and then when it came out on DVD, and then, like, the two-disc DVD special, I've got the soundtrack, which is actually in the CD player of my car right now. Yeah.
That's cool. So that'll put you in the Christmas mood every time, right?
I love it, yes.
Oh, funny. So, Dale, what about you?
Oh, so many of them. I've got to watch I love Elf.
Elf?
I don't know why. Yeah.
Oh, that's
Elf.
Right. You've mentioned this before.
I love that film. That is absolutely insane. And literally, it just makes me cry laughing. So, absolutely brilliant. What else? I mean, I usually watch at least one old Doctor Who. Yeah, uh-huh. Proper old classic series Who.
Mm-hmm.
Run up to Christmas, you'll find me watching anything with Delia Smith or Nigella Lawson in. So, I love cookery programs that show you how to do Christmas, because I don't.
Do you not cook, Dale?
Not really, no.
Oh, okay. But you clean very well.
I clean beautifully. Oh, that was a bit Tom.
Elf.
And although having said that, that one I saw, that Enchanted, that's going to go straight into the Christmas list as well. Wizard of Oz, because it's genetically programmed into me that I must love the Wizard of Oz. That's called being gay.
Rose of Dorothy.
I think they show. Yeah. I think they used to show Wizard of Oz. I can't remember if it was every Christmas or every Thanksgiving. Tar, do you remember?
Easter.
Was it Easter? Well, it was one holiday.
In Britain, we always used to have it on BBC One about midday-ish on Christmas Day. Mm. But these days, it's been relegated to one of the sub-channels. BBC 87 or Channel 5 or whatever. And you know, it's on the 28th at 1 o'clock in the morning, so nobody has to see it. And I think it's a crying shame, because I love that film.
That is. It's a beautiful, beautiful movie. When it goes from like black and white to that vivid Technicolor, and oh my God, it's just,
I remember watching that in Arizona, uh-huh. And we didn't have tornadoes in Arizona.
Uh-huh.
And so the scene where the tornado comes and takes the house, I always used to have to run out of the house and go outside for a while, because that used to just absolutely freak me the fuck out.
Well,
so
the thing is,
I could handle everything else. I could handle the flying monkeys. I could
not handle flying monkeys. Flying monkeys?
I can't flying monkeys don't bother me in the least teeny bit. That's what we have guns for.
Okay, flying monkeys? Flying monkeys and the witch melting? Oh, no, I couldn't watch that.
I can't allow that. I know. The idea that there was this big fucking thing that would suck your house to Oz?
Uh-huh.
Fuck that. I had to go outside. I can't watch that. Sorry. First, we moved to Texas where we have goddamn tornadoes, and I've actually seen the goddamn things, you know, stood there and gone, I've been picked up by a tornado. I was next.
I don't believe you, Tar. My bullshit alarm just went off.
I was holding onto a tent, and there was a microburst, and it turned out to be a tornado. Fucker lifted me off the ground, and this great big guy tackled me, and we ended up rolling up in the tent and fetched up against this truck. And we thought we were fucking going to Oz, but it literally picked me off the ground.
Wow.
So. Well, as somebody who grew up in Britain, you say, and grew up with a diet of Doctor Who long before he ever saw The Wizard of Oz, that wonderful scene from the beginning of Wizard when the little house comes spinning out of the sky.
Yes.
And kills the witch. I thought that was a new version of the TARDIS. Because the only thing I had seen spinning through space or time was a large blue police phone box. So to see this little cottage going and spinning its way around, I remember asking my mum, I said, is that the TARDIS? Is this a really weird episode of Doctor Who? And she was like, no, that's a house. Because it looks like a house, doesn't it, Dale? Muppet. So I was, when I was little, I thought that was the TARDIS. The frying monkeys, so the monkeys in their frying pans, they scared the living crud out of me.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, they still scare the piss out of me when I see them.
Anything that big that's flying, I can
hear them. Shoot them.
Not worried about that. It's the little shit like bees and wasps that used to upset me because I couldn't shoot them with the shotgun.
The other thing is like Dorothy is like captured and she's in the lair of the Wicked Witch and she's alone and she gets up to the big crystal ball and she's looking for Auntie M.
That's a great scene.
And she's like Auntie M, and you see Auntie M going Dorothy
Because Auntie M is all in green.
Yeah.
And gray.
And when the witch actually appears in that, and oh my God, that scared the shit out of me.
And it goes to Scarlet. Oh man.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. No, thank you. But I actually my Christmas. Thank you, Dale.
Oh, I love the way that I've opened up yet another psychological war factor on the Happiness Patrol. I love the fact that we're also deeply psychologically damaged, with the exception of Leela, who's two.
Yeah, she'll give her time. So, so anywho, my big tradition.
What's your pick of the Christmas?
Well, I like to watch Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer by Rankin and Bass. Watched it. It always made me feel great because it was stop motion animation and I love the whole stylistic properties of the thing. It's just wonderful. I absolutely love it.
And the songs.
Oh, the songs are amazing.
Fantastic songs.
Burl Ives as a snowman. Oh, come on. Always thought it was a snowman.
And it's non-denominational.
That's true. And it's about
Sit down with your Jewish friends and watch it, you know?
Are your geeky friends and watch it? Because basically the story is about not fitting in. And it's wrapped up in a Christmas tale. So, you know, and I love Hermie, the dentist elf.
The dentist elf. The Jewish dentist elf.
I want to be a dentist. So, you know, it's just great. So that's about all the time we've got today, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning in to the Happiness Patrol once again. And extra special thanks to our guest, Miss Daphne Ashbrook, and her significant other, Vito. Thanks so much. And
Dale is just going to be walking around all day, well, all week, with this big old happy smile plastered all over his face. It's all your fault, Daphne. It's all your goddamn fault.
There you go. So hopefully we'll have them back again real soon.
Once that smile gets off Dale's face,
then we'll have to put it in again. So anyway, this is the 49th episode. Next week we'll be having our grand 50th episode of the Happiness Patrol. So stay tuned for that.
I'd be so fucking happy.
But this is the one right before Christmas. So you guys. I hope you have a very Merry Christmas from all of us here at the Happiness Patrol, and a Happy Holidays, whatever you, as John Levine would say, whatever God you choose to worship, may he smile down upon you. So, for all you first-time listeners, if you want to check out some previous episodes of the Happiness Patrol, you can check them out on our blog site, where they're always there, or go to iTunes and just search for the Happiness Patrol podcast, and you will find them there. But our blog spot, Leela, why don't you tell them where to go?
You can check out our blog at thehappinesspatrol.blogspot.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/thehpatrol.
And if you want to send us any kind of messages and tell us how much you love to hear Daphne, and if you'd like to hear any other guests, you know, make suggestions. We're always open to that at v.happiness.patrol@gmail.com. So until next week, you guys have a Merry Christmas and all that good stuff. And I am Lewis B.
And I'm Tara W.
I'm Leela S.
And Dale is a drooling fanboy.
We'll see you guys later. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. I love Dr. Grace.
You've been listening to the Happiness Patrol.
I'm
Mr. Heat Miser. I'm Mr. 101.
Oh, and by the way, speaking of our happiness patrollers, Mr. Andre T sends his love. So,
say Andre. Hi, Andre.
Plus, I say groovy. I think I just said groovy, didn't I?
I say groovy. I say groovy all the time.
See, they make fun of me when I say stuff like, can you dig it? Or, wasn't that groovy?
So, no. Way back
in 60s. You're Dr. Grace Holloway and you're cool.